My name is Dan Batchelor. I'm from a criminologist in Mississauga. In 1975, when I was at the UN headquarters in Geneva, Switzerland, I was asked by the Solicitor General of Canada to negotiate with the PLO to get a commitment from them not to commit any acts of violence in the Olympic Games in 1976. Arafat promised me through his representative at the UN that they would commit no acts of violence in any future Olympic Games or anybody or any acts of violence against anyone in the Western Hemisphere or against any Canadian. I later learned from the government that the PLO kept its word. In 1985, I was asked to address the United Nations on the subject of terrorism, and I recommended that any country that has a terrorist in their possession, whether that terrorist is a person who sets the bomb or makes the bomb or raises the money to create the bomb, whatever that terrorist is, he should be given the maximum penalty that that country can give. Now, Canada has just announced that the Canadian government, that is, has just announced that they intend to punish those persons who raise money for terrorists. My question to the panelists is, if these people are considered part of a terrorist organization, would you recommend natural life or at least a minimum of 25 years for any of these people who conspire to commit acts of terrorism?
Have we a response?
Dan, it's good to see you again, but let me your question
that's,
is...
That's all right. We both sat on a committee recommending compensation for innocent people sent to prison.
It's dangerous to be prescribing maximum penalties in the abstract. We do have laws in this country, the Criminal Code, the Immigration Act, the CSIS Act, the Official Secrets Act, and there are prescribed penalties after determination by a judicial officer according to a fair and impartial hearing. And I would be loath to recommend, you know, maximum penalties without knowing the fact situation. I do know we have laws now. We don't need new laws. We have laws now that will assist in routing out terrorists who don't respect our laws, our institutions, our boundaries, our commitments, either as a nation or commitments to the United Nations. The definition of terrorism can go all over the map, but there's one that we know and readily understand, and that is to use violent means, including destruction of individual lives, to achieve a particular political objective. And that is not acceptable according to the values of most Canadians. And we will use whatever lawful means we can to find those terrorists and prevent them from committing that kind of act again. And if that includes criminal prosecution and incarceration, so be it.
Thank you. Yes?
I guess I want to just take it back a step and say I think the real reason that people are so concerned about the laws and all of that is not because anyone wants terrorists to go free. It's because we don't have a great level of trust, certainly in the United States and I think also in Canada, that those laws won't be used politically and won't be used. And won't be used to suppress dissent instead of suppressing terrorism.
And John Polani.
I thought the question was a very proper one, but in some ways it's puzzling that we should be considering what penalty will deter terrorists when the terrorist action that brings us here a week ago invited the ultimate penalty. And I hope that, my colleague here, Amina Hassin, attempted to do... We try to understand what it was that was in the minds of those terrorists. I am as puzzled as you are, and I don't think that they were, from what I've read about them, religious zealots. I don't think that they were enemies of democracy either. I think that they... I don't know when I'm going to be applauded by this audience. I think that they were idealists of a who were acting against what they felt was an arrogant regime which had done great damage in a country that they cared about. And of course their action was appalling and disgusting. And if we want to talk about that, it has its roots in something that all of us are complicit in, which is an aspect of the century just passed, the invention of mass destruction as a part of, one could almost say, normal life. I mean, weapons of mass destruction are part of the security structure in the world, and I think until we start to address that appalling fact and aggressively attempt to decrease the numbers of such weapons and outlaw them little by little, and it can be done, we shall be playing into the hands of people who feel that any level of destruction of any people is warranted.
I'm going to go back to the microphones, but I would like to underline what you just said, that we are talking about something that has happened, not something that's going to happen. And the question that I would put out there is whether we are on an unswerving course to war because of what has happened.